Well, guys, I'm doing a new series called My Church. And I want us to understand what it means to be part of God's church, my church. And we have a mission statement. And our mission statement, and Tony's going to put it up there for you, is to love God, love others, and to make disciples. That's our, it comes from the greatest commandment where they ask Jesus, and he says, love God. And he says, the second's just like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And then the Great Commission, we are to go into the world and preach the gospel and to baptize and teach what he taught. And so that's where we get our mission statement. I think about every business has to have some kind of mission statement. They have to have something that lets you know what their business is about. For example, Chick-fil-A is in the food business. You know when you go to Chick-fil-A, you're going to get food. Publix is in the grocery business. When you go into Publix, you know that you're going to get groceries. Home Depot is in the do-it-yourself business. I mean, you ever tried to get help in Home Depot? Do it yourself, you know. Delta is in the travel business. You know, Delta is ready when you are most of the time. And so we know it's the travel business. The Atlanta Falcons are in the entertainment business, okay? They're in sports entertainment. I mean, we go to be entertained, to watch football. Three Point Bible Church is in the disciple-making business. That's what we are supposed to be about. We are supposed to be about making disciples. We are not in the entertainment business. When we come to church, it's not about the songs that we sing. Oh, man, that looks great. Oh, look at the screens. Look at all the things. And we're sitting back being entertained. That's not what the church is about. The church is about being and making disciples, to going into the world and preaching the gospel. I think about football. When you go to the football game and you watch the Falcons, okay, you don't go to see the huddle. Oh, that's a great huddle they got going on there. Wonder what they're talking about. The huddle's important. Right? They get together, and in the huddle, they discuss the play, and everybody knows what their role is from the huddle. But we don't go to see the huddle, do we? We go to see the actual play. When we come to church, this is our huddle. We come here to hear from God. We hear His Word. We come to get information. We come to get strategies. We come to be supported. We come to offer our prayers and let God speak to us so that we could go into the world, and that's where the play takes place. This is our huddle, and out there is where the play takes place. We connect with God's people, but at the end of the day, how are we living it out? If we just come in here every Sunday after Sunday and then Wednesday nights and we just like, oh, man, that was great, the music was great, oh, the preaching was great, blah, 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 and then you go out and nothing is different, what have we done? It was a great huddle, y'all, but we're going to fail on the field. We are made to go out and to make disciples. That's what my church is about. That's what God's church is about, going out and being in the people business, making disciples. And our first point in our mission statement is to love God. How do we love God? We love God by knowing Him intimately. We don't just walk down an aisle one time and say, like, oh, I give my life to Christ, and we say a prayer, and then we go on about our lives. No, we change. It's what Jason talked about last week, change, being different. You ever meet a celebrity and you think you know them? I had the opportunity many, many years ago. I sang for a wedding, and this man turned around and looked at me, smiled, and went like this. It was Jimmy Carter. And I went, wow, Jimmy Carter is in this little Presbyterian church. And he just gave me a Jimmy Carter smile, which was all teeth, and he gave me a thumbs up. And then afterwards, he came up and said, "That was a, you know, you did a great job on the Lord's Prayer." And I'm like, "Thank you." And I mean, there are Secret Service guys around, so I'm like, "Should I shake his hand? Do you bow? What? I don't know what you do for a former president." I could tell people, "Yeah, man, I know Jimmy Carter. He came up to me and told me I did a great job. Did I really know Jimmy Carter?" No, I knew who he was. I knew about him. I knew he was in the church. We carried on like a brief conversation. Sometimes when you meet a celebrity, it could be like, yeah, I know that person. Yeah, man, I know him. We go way back. Do you really? Did he even look you in the eye? When we say we know God, we can't just say, yeah, we know God because we read some words about him. We went down, said a prayer. We carry a cross. Yeah, I made a cross in Vacation Bible School one time, and I carry it with me. That doesn't mean you know God. I mean, we have to take it from here, y'all. Know God to know God. Because we can't love God until we know God. Some come to church, you sing a few songs, you say a prayer, wear a cross, and you say you know and you love him. But loving God is knowing him intimately. It's an ongoing relationship, and it starts with our salvation. So I want to talk about who is God today. How can we love him and get to know him more deeply? How many of you ever watched like those science shows on TV like Discovery or Animal Planet? Anybody? Okay, the five of you, I appreciate that. When you watch like on Discovery or something and they show you something about the world or they show you something about animals or something like that, do you realize you're watching God's creation? You're watching everything that God has created. I have some pictures I want to show you about God's creation. The first one here, you see, I don't know if you can even see it. Do you see the rainbow there? See in the middle? So we get to the beach the very first day, and we go out of the porch. And from the porch, that is our view. And this doesn't even do it justice because it just lit up the sky. The rainbow, that's God's creation. Right? God's creation. Show the next thing. This is one of the sunrises as the sun is coming up from our same view. Okay? Go out there. Steve gets up a lot earlier, probably saw it actually come up over the horizon. I got up just enough to get it after it was over the horizon. But you see what I'm saying? Look at the sky. Look at the colors. Look at how beautiful everything is. That's God's creation. He painted that for us. People in California, show the next one, Tony. They go to what's called Sunset Cliffs. And this is just a few of them there. They go out every evening, and this is just a few because it's all lined up over here where I'm at and all over here. And they sit there for hours waiting for the sun, this ball of fire, to go down. And it looks like it's going down into the ocean, right? And they sit there, and it's like, because show the next picture. This is what it looks like. That's God's creation. That's what God paints for us. And we see this and we know that there is someone that has designed this, someone that has made this for us. It's amazing and it's beautiful. The scripture says this in Romans. So turn to Romans chapter 1. I want to do two of my favorite verses. This is actually, verse 20 is one of my favorite verses, but I'm going to read 21 as well. I'm in Romans chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. It says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." I'm going to stop there for a minute. From the very beginning, his eternal qualities, his love, his power, his creativity, his wisdom. What we are seeing, there is no doubt there is a God. That's someone that has created this. And it says that it's been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. And then in verse 21, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." Guys, we have no excuse. When we stand before God on judgment day, we can't say, "Well, you know, I never really knew. You know, if you just would have shown yourself, if you just would have given us a hint, if you just would have provided something that I could have held on to," it's there. His eternal qualities, his invisible qualities have been clearly seen from the beginning of time, from the time we are born. I mean, the sun, this gas ball that's going down like into the ocean, that's amazing, right? But it's not even as amazing and intricate as your eye. That's how fearfully and wonderfully we are made, how intricate it is. I mean, have you ever seen a baby being born? I mean, really being born, not something that you see on TV. I got to see the birth of two of mine. The first one, when Lena was born in the 90s, they still made us, you know, they had a kind of a sheet up here, and I'm back there, breathe, Margie, breathe. And she's like squeezing my hand, like, what do you mean, breathe? You know, I have no idea what's going on down at that end. And she goes, you know, is she all right? I'm like, I don't know. Her head looks kind of funny. It's all pointed, kind of, I don't know. But I got to see Alex, and I actually helped birth Philip. I mean, he just popped out of my hands, and there's a doctor here, and there's the nurse there, and I'm holding Philip like, you know, don't open that package of forceps. I don't need them. You know, I got him right here, you know. Amazing watching a child being born. A human being living basically for 40 weeks in a sack of water, not even taking a breath, and then its first breath that fills up his lungs and oxidizes the blood on its own. That's amazing. And that's from our Creator. That's from God. So who is God? If someone says, well, explain to me who is God, and we say, well, you know, God is God. What would you say? I want to try to narrow some things down, because you've got to know Him. The first thing I want you to understand about God is God caused everything. Everything that happened is caused by God. The scripture says this in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Well, if God created this, who created God? God is not bound by our infinite minds. He's not bound by time. God created. God was the first. God created. God created everything out of nothing. Now, what science does, science tries to explain what we see. It takes what we see, what has been created, and tells us how we probably got there. But science will also tell you, you can't create something out of nothing. There has to be a cause. There has to be something that happens. So God creates everything out of nothing. God gives us brains and intellect to kind of think about these things. And as we start to think about these things, we are drawn to the fact that there has to be a cause for everything that's happened. Well, how did this happen? Science may say this, and we kind of scratch our head and say, could, maybe, but there has to be something that is in that designs in such a way that it makes sense. God causes everything. The second thing is about God. God is a master designer. He is a master designer. Everything that's made has to have some kind of design. For example, the table here, you know, it's designed with legs to hold it up, the top here, and so it was designed by somebody so that the legs would fold out and it would be great. This was made so that it would stand here and I could put a book on it, or I could lean on it. I was at a church one time where the guy was going to show about faith, and he said, I'm going to put my faith in this, and he held like this, and the thing just fell over. And it's like how, yeah, don't try to outthink God, because God's going to make you look foolish. Everything is made by a designer. Your cars, your homes, chairs, tables, everything was designed by a craftsman or a designer. You were designed by a master designer. You were designed with fingers and toes and legs and arms and a brain and eyes. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139 says this, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." God knows you. The scripture says he knows how many hairs we have on our head. He knew you before you were knit in your mother's womb. He knew all about you. He knew his plan for you. God, a couple things about being a master designer. God is an intelligent designer. He uses his intelligence and he gives us our intelligence. And he knew you before you were conceived. He knew what his plan was for you from the very beginning. That's God. He's an intelligent designer. Also, we are designed as spiritual beings. You can't get away from it. You might live in the flesh, but we are spiritual beings, and we are designed to be spiritual beings. John says this, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." We are spiritually responsible. We are spiritually made. In fact, the Bible tells us that when we battle flesh and the world and the devil, we are fighting in a spiritual realm. That there are battles taking place all around us that we don't even see. It's taking place in a spiritual level. We are spirit beings and we walk by faith. It's faith that we get up in the morning and we're able to walk. It's faith that when I get in my car, it's going to start. It's faith that when I'm driving my car, no one is going to hit me on the way to the church. I had faith that after all of the heavy winds and the rain last night, that the church would still be here in the morning. There was no water in the back, which was great. The roof's not leaking anymore. This is a metal building with a metal roof and a big heavy wind. Who knows? It could be like, there's no place like home. You know, I don't know. But I had faith that the church was going to be here. And we live by faith because we are spiritual beings. And we are eternally designed. We are designed for eternity, folks. This life that we live here on earth is so short and it really matters nothing. We think it's everything, but it's not. Eternity is where we're headed. And how are we going to live out our eternal existence? Isaiah says this, "Have you not known? Have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Have you not known he is everlasting God, and we will be everlasting in his presence?" Because we are made for eternity. I think the third thing about God that we need to know is God gives us all a purpose. We talk about our gifts and we talk about our talents and, hey, what has God gifted you in? What talent has God given you? How are you going to be used? God gives us all a specific purpose. Every object that we have has a specific purpose. The table, for example, is there to put things on. This was designed to put things on. The keyboard was designed for me to be able to play. There is a purpose for everything. What is our purpose? Says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." There it is again. God prepared for us beforehand, before we were born, before we even knew him. God prepared a purpose for us that we are to go out for good works. Not to come in and consume, but to go out and be good workers. And we should walk in that. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to glorify God, to bring glory to God. How do we do that if we just say, yes, I love God, but we don't know God? Do you know him? Do you know him? You have a purpose. God has given each one of us a purpose. He's given us gifts and talents to ultimately do that purpose that he's given us. What is God telling you? Because if you have this purpose that God's given you and you're just sitting back? It's like the song, Hide It Under a Bushel. Yes, you're not going to let it shine. Instead of hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. What is your purpose? John in Revelation writes, after this I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to God, bringing glory to God. God, thank you. Thank you for the rainbow. Thank you for the sunrise. Thank you for the sunset. Thank you for my sons and my daughter. Thank you for their birth. Thank you for this creation that you've given us. Father, thank you for the life that you've given us. Thank you for the blessings that you continue to pour out in our lives every single day that sometimes we just totally ignore and just overlook. The only way we can fulfill our purpose of glorifying God is to be in a loving relationship with the master designer. Jesus says this in John, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We cannot be all that God has designed us to be unless we abide in him. I was thinking about, you know, since it was my wife's birthday, I was thinking like, oh, maybe I should get her flowers. You know, what should I get her? You know, we're at the age where it's like, what do you want? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. Here's a gift card. Go out and get some. So I thought, maybe I'll get flowers. But the thing about flowers, they're beautiful and they'll bloom. But once you cut them, they're going to die. They're going to die. And so we have some knockout roses at home that are beautiful. And so what we'll do is we'll cut some and we'll put them on our kitchen table. And for a few days, they're alive. Now, here's how you can keep them alive a little bit longer. When you cut them, don't just cut it straight off. Kind of slice it diagonally a little bit because that allows more of the water and the nutrients to get back into it. So it'll live a little bit longer. But eventually, you're going to send them on to a better place. You know, they're going to die and, you know, it's like, there you go. How do we grow and how do we continue to bloom? It's we have to stay connected to the vine. We have to stay connected. We're the branch, he's the vine, and we stay connected. How do we stay connected? By knowing him and by loving him. That's how we love God. That's how my church, that's how our church, that's my prayer for us, is that we would love God with everything that's in us. But in order to do that, we have to know God. In 1 John, he writes, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. You know, I texted Margie last night. She was sitting in the chair, and I was sitting over here, and I was just watching her, and the storm was going on, and every time it was lightning, I'd see her do this. So I kind of texted her. I said, hey, I love you. Thank you for being my partner in crime. And so she texts back, quit texting on my phone in the middle of a storm. You know, I'm like, okay, I got it. But I started to think about it, and we kind of hit on it in our Sunday school today. In marriage, the two become one. The two become one. When Margie and I took our vows, we made a covenant relationship in front of our friends, in front of the pastor, in front of God Almighty, that the two of us would become one. And the longer we're together, the more I see that we really are one. She'll finish all my sentences. She'll finish, all my thoughts. She'll tell me what I need to do and where to be. You know, the two have become one. You know, when you know God intimately, do you realize the two become one? That's God. When you enter into a loving relationship with him, you're no longer your own. The two become one. God is in you, and you are in God. And that's amazing to me. And that is the God that we love, and that's the God that we know, and that's the God that we serve. Father, I just pray today that you would speak to us and that we would feel your presence in a mighty way. That we would go from this head knowledge of who you are, but Father, we would understand who you are truly. That you are eternal. You caused everything. You designed everything. And yet, Father, you love us individually. And you know us personally and intimately. Father, I pray that that knowledge would just grow inside of us and we would fall deeper in love with you every moment. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.